Multitude, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying. And then we know that this is the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, and he began to just unlock some powerful spiritual truths that they had never heard anything like it. And they made this statement numerous times that he spake as no other man spake. Amen. Such authority and such revelation. And so the words of Jesus are so powerful to us, so important to us. That's why we study them so carefully. And of course, in the month of February, we read the book of Matthew. So January was Genesis, and then February was Matthew, and this month is Exodus. And we're going to be talking about that a little more in the second hour. But we are so thankful for the Word of God. And so last week, or the week before last, we talked about lordship, the first checkpoint to true discipleship. And we talked about how important it is for us to make Him our Lord. Of course, we know that He is King of Kings and that He is Lord of Lords. And no matter what we do, nothing that we do will change that. But however, personally, we have to do it for ourselves because he has given us a free will to choose whether we will serve him or not serve him. And so in our individual lives, we have to give him the lordship in our lives. And we talked about how important it is that he's either first or he's last. He is nothing in between. And so he has to be our highest priority. It is so important for us to understand that we have to give him preeminence. That's where we left off two Sundays ago. We have to give him preeminence in our life, first place. We want to make sure that he is the highest priority. And then today, our checkpoint, the checkpoint two is instruction. We're talking about all the different places that he went. He went to the mountain and he taught them in different ways, in different places. And we talked about that in our introduction. And so today is instruction. Matthew 5 and 1 again. It says, "And seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. He opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And then in Proverbs 1 and 7, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." The New Living Translation says in Proverbs 9 and 8, it says, "So don't bother correcting mockers. They will only hate you. But correct the wise and they will love you." 2 Timothy 3 and 16 says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness." There is a checkpoint of true discipleship, and that is receiving, hearing, receiving, and applying real instruction. You know, I think in our modern Christian culture, people have become so inundated with what we call inspiration. And that's really all they want. They want to be inspired. They want to they want to feel good about what they're hearing. They want to just be coddled and say, "Hey, you're okay, we're okay, everybody's okay." But in modern Christianity, there's not a lot of real biblical instruction. Because when you really stay in the Word and you are teaching instruction, then as we see in the ministry of Jesus, the more he began to instruct them, the smaller the crowds got. Amen. Did you notice that? That when he was feeding the 5,000 plus women and children, so some estimate it was like 20,000 people, when he was feeding them, when he was healing them, when he was doing the miraculous in front of them, then his crowds were big. But when he began to talk about things like, if you're going to follow me, you've got to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. When he began to say, except that you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, then you are none of mine. The Bible even said it, many, many left him that day. And so he looked around and he said, "Will you leave also?" He told his disciples, and they had the perfect response. They said, "Well, where would we go? Right. You're the one with the word of life. Where would we go?" And so the checkpoint of true discipleship is whether we're willing to hear instruction, amen, to receive instruction, and to apply it to our lives. And so that is the checkpoint of true discipleship. And as I always say, that we're not trying to just have converts here at Way of Life. In fact, the Bible doesn't say for us to go into all the world and have converts. It says make disciples. And so the whole point of what we are doing here is not to gather a crowd. It is not to just to enjoy the worship and the spirit that we feel when we come together. That's all a part of it. But the main thing is discipleship. We are trying to teach people to be disciples, and that every convert would become a disciple, and real disciples always become disciple makers. They reproduce themselves in other people. And so that's the key to a strong, healthy church, is when we will become disciples and ultimately each one will become a disciple maker. And so without instruction, that is impossible. Amen. And so we have to have the Word of God. That's why Sunday morning, first hour, and Wednesday night, Better Way of Life Wednesdays, are so important. Because teaching is the backbone of every strong church. Amen. It's the backbone. You have to have teaching. Now, I love to preach. I love to hear preaching. I love the inspiration of it. I love when it's powerful and anointed and fervent, all of that. And we have that, and we must have that. Amen. And we're going to continue to have that. But without instruction, those things are just like kind of like cotton candy. They're not going to fill you up. They're not going to build your spiritual bones. They're not going to make you strong. They're not going to help you to endure. We have to have the Word of God. And as Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It helps us. What is it profitable for? It's profitable for doctrine. We have to have doctrine. Doctrine is not a dirty word. Doctrine is a powerful word, and we should crave sound doctrine. The reason the world's in the shape that it's in is because the modern church is an anemic church, because they do not have very good or sound doctrine. Amen. The reason there are churches around the globe accepting things from our culture that are totally in opposition to the Word of God is because they have not been taught sound doctrine. Amen. Amen. And when you're not taught sound doctrine, then you are tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by every new thing that comes by. You will accept it. And there's going to be a lot of people from now until Jesus comes that they are going to be completely deceived because they have not heard, they have not received, and they have not applied instruction from the Word of God into their life. And some of it is the person's fault because they haven't sought it. And then some of it is the leadership's fault because they are deceived and deceiving others themselves. Because they would rather have a crowd than to have disciples. Jesus taught us that it's better to have disciples than it is to have a crowd. Now, we want as many people as possible. That's why we expanded. That's why we have more seats. That's why we have a balcony. That's why we have more than we need right now, because we want as many people to come as possible. But we're not here to have a crowd. You know, the circus comes to town, they can have a crowd. Right? The monster truck rally can come to AT&T Stadium and have a crowd. But they're not getting anything out of it but dirt in their lungs and bad ears from it. They're going deaf from the sound. Anybody can have a crowd, but God is not wanting us to have a crowd. He is wanting us to have disciples. And without instruction, it's impossible. So this is where pop culture Christianity, and I put quotes around that, pop culture Christianity faces a headwind. Today, people want to hear something that makes them feel good. If you get the true word and instructions, sometimes it doesn't feel good. Amen. You know, I always say that cliches are cliches because most of the time they're true. The reason we repeat them so often is because they're true. And one cliche that we always use is the truth hurts. Amen. Sometimes the truth hurts. Sometimes the truth is hard to hear. Amen. But when the truth is coming from the Word of God, whether it hurts or not, whether it causes us to be transformed or not, is immaterial if we do not hear it and respond to it and give ourselves to it, because sometimes it hurts. But we need to take joy in that, because we know that when the truth is settling in us and it hurts, then there's something needs to be changed. Amen. And God has all good for us and not evil. Amen. And so when we conform ourselves to the Word of God, no matter how painful it seems, no matter how we have to transform our lives or change our mindset or change our lifestyle, then if it's in the Word of God, then it's for our good. And it's ultimately going to be a blessing. Amen. Amen. But the problem with pop culture Christianity is they want preachers to scratch their ears, right? The Bible says that they will heap to themselves preachers having itching ears. Amen. The preachers don't have itching ears. They have itching ears, and they want preachers to make them feel better. Amen. And that's not my job today. Well, my job is to love you. My job is to care for you. My job is to watch out for the enemy in our lives and be the watchman on the wall. My job is to teach you what the Word of God says, Amen. Whether you like it or not, Amen. Whether I like it or not. I thank God for every pastor I've ever had in my life because they taught me the truth. I'm here today. I'm a product of the church because pastors were courageous enough to teach me the truth from the pulpit and in person. I thank God that even when I didn't enjoy it, there's been a few times. Anybody ever been called into the pastor's office? Now, we don't do that a lot around here. Done it a few times maybe. But if you've ever been called, we call it called onto the carpet. I don't know why they call it called onto the carpet. Maybe the pastor's office always had carpet. I don't know. I've got a rug instead of a carpet, so maybe you get called in on the rug. But I remember a few times in particular that my pastor set me down across from his desk, and it didn't feel good at the time. But looking back, I'm so thankful for those times. I'm so thankful that they were willing to upset me in the moment. And how we respond to correction and instruction is an indicator. It is a checkpoint of true discipleship. Because if we are true disciples, then we receive instruction. We receive correction. We receive the things of the Word of God and the leading of the man of God in our life, whether it feels good or not.
Amen.
Amen. I got a few amens. Can I get a lot of amens? Amen.
Amen.
We have to have that. We've got to give ourselves to it. Amen.
Amen.
Because I love my children, but if they're ever going to be anything, thankfully they have reached adulthood now, and they are both living for God, working for God, doing the things that God wants them to do. And I know that there are greater things in the future for both of them. But the reason they are where they are and doing what they're doing is because they had instruction. Amen. They had a wonderful mother that is the most consistent person I know in my life. And she was always consistent. And they had a father that he may not have been perfect, but he always pointed them back to the house of God.
Hallelujah.
And no matter what happened, he didn't coddle them. I never coddled them and said, "Oh, baby, you don't have to go if you don't want to go. Somebody hurt your feelings." No. I said, "Hey, you just got to suck it up, buttercup. Let's go. We're going." Because guess what? Somebody hurt your feelings today and you don't deal with it, you're going to get your feelings hurt again.
Amen.
Amen. Even Jesus said, offenses will come. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. And so how you deal with those things. And so with our children, we always pointed them back to the house of God. We always instructed them to honor those that were in authority in their lives. Amen?
Amen.
Now you do what you want to do in your house, but I was taught this way. And so we taught our children this way, that when I ask them something or tell them something, they say, "Yes, sir." Or if the question is good for a no, then they say, "No, sir." It's just respect. Now, you do what you want to in your own house, but that's how we do it. And because of those boundaries, then now they not only respect us, but they respect authority. And there's something that does my heart good when Simeon comes to preach for us here. And invariably, if you notice this, in his preliminary remarks, not only will he thank us for allowing him to be here to preach, not only will he thank his wife for being with him and say he's glad she's here, but he always honors his father-in-law, which is his pastor. And he honors Brother Gothier for allowing him to come. Notice that word. Now that's kind of an odd thought in our modern Christianity, right?
Amen.
He thanked his father-in-law for allowing him to come. Now, he's a full-grown man. He could pretty much do what he wants to do. He can go where he wants to go. But he's chosen to honor that position in his life. And that's because he received good instruction when he was young. And now he's getting good instruction when he's a man from his father-in-law. And I appreciate Brother Gothier and the church there in East Lansing. They are doing an amazing job. In the same way it is with our children, we instruct them, we correct them, we punish them, not just for punishment's sake, but we punish them for instruction. Our punishment with our children should always be for instruction. We're not trying to destroy them. We're not trying to condemn them. We're trying to get them to be a good citizen.
Amen.
Man, our world would be so much better if children had fathers and mothers that would teach them
Amen.
To respect authority.
Amen.
Amen. That's good teaching, Pastor. Man, that's so good.
Hallelujah.
Amen. if a pastor or a church is going to be effective, it's going to have to say some tough things that go against our grain sometimes, because the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? Our flesh, we're always dealing with our flesh. That's why even me as pastor of this church, as senior pastor of Way of Life Church, I have to have preaching. I have to have teaching. I listen to it all the time. I'm always feeding myself with hearing the Word of God and reading the Word of God, because guess what? I have to deal with flesh just like you do.
Amen.
I've got to deal with attitude just like you do.
Amen.
And so I need teaching and preaching, and I need direction. I need instruction.
Hallelujah.
And I need a pastor.
Come on.
And I have a pastor. I need a leader in my life. Brother Flowers is our district superintendent, and I honor him as our leader. And he knows, and I've told him this, that he has the right to call me and to instruct me and give me advice and even correct me if he needs to, because I don't want to be lost.
Amen.
I don't want to be lost personally, and I definitely don't want to mislead the church in a direction that is not biblical. I've even told you that if I come up here and stand in this pulpit and I start teaching you something other than what I've taught you before, other than what you can find in the Word of God about salvation, right? Faith, repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, the infilling of the Holy Ghost. If I start discounting to you the lifestyle of holiness, inward and outward, then you need to find a new pastor.
Amen.
I'm telling you, because it's right. It's biblical. I need it. You need it. We need it. And so if we're going to be the church that God has called us to be, we need to be a church of sound doctrine. And to be a church of sound doctrine, we have to be a church of teaching and instruction, not only hearing it, but receiving it. There's a difference.
Amen.
We hear a lot of things, but sometimes we don't receive it.
Come on.
Amen. We got to hear it and receive it, and then we've got to apply those things, those principles in our life, or they really have no value.
Amen.
They just fall to the ground. And so we need a pastor, a teacher, a preacher to be willing to teach us the whole truth, whether we like it or not.
Amen.
I always tell people this when I'm instructing younger pastors or younger ministers. So look, you're going to have the courage to lose people. Now, you don't want to lose people. You don't want people to leave the church, but you have to have the courage to lose people, because the truth is a dividing line.
Amen.
And when you're teaching the truth, now we always teach it in love and we teach it in understanding, and we're doing our best to present it in such a way that is palatable for us. And we want people to receive it.
Amen.
But at some point you still have to teach it and preach it, because if you don't, you'll lose it.
Come on.
You will lose it. And so we need someone that is willing to tell us the truth, whether we like it or not.
Amen.
The Bible says that faithful are the wounds of a friend. If you have a real friend, they will tell you real stuff.
Amen.
Whether it hurts you or not.
Amen.
Amen. We all need a friend to say, I don't think you should wear that again. Right? You know, we all need that friend that say, hey, you may need to go up at a size or two, you know. Come on. Sometimes you got to have somebody tell you.
Amen.
You know, I mean, it's, you got to have somebody love you enough to really tell you the truth. Amen. It's not easy to hear, but you got to have it. The Bible says that we are saved by the foolishness of preaching. Now, to the world, it is foolish. It doesn't make any sense for you to sit there and hear me every Sunday. Many of the things that you hear me, especially if you've been in church a long time, you've heard it before.
Come on.
In fact, you heard it from me before. Yeah. I'm getting older. I just repeat myself more often now. And so, but the world calls it foolishness, but the Bible calls it preaching, calls it truth, calls it salvation. Amen. I've said it to you before. You may not need this preacher, but you need a preacher.
Amen.
You may not need this pastor, but you need a pastor. You need somebody that you will hear, receive, and apply instruction from. Because guess what? We are all capable of drifting. Because we have flesh, right? We're all capable of being led astray from what is right. And so that's why we always have to submit ourselves back to the Word of God, to the teaching. We've got to have the revealed Word of God, whether it hurts or not. And we've got to receive instruction. Amen. And you know, sometimes we don't always understand it all. Now, when you were young and your parents told you to do something, did you always understand why they told you to do it? I didn't always understand. Now, later on, I understand it better and better as I became a parent, as I grew up. I understood why they said what they said and did what they did. But at the time, I didn't understand it. But obedience brought understanding. And so guess what? If the Word of God says it, I don't have to understand all the reasons why.
Come on.
In the Old Testament, you will find all sorts of laws and rules and guidelines that God gave the children of Israel. They had no way of understanding why God was doing that.
Come on.
Right? Some of the dietary laws. The dietary laws in the Old Testament was because they were a nomadic people. They were traveling. There was no way to preserve things. There was no way to keep things. And so he was protecting them.
Amen.
From things that they couldn't see, the microscopic organisms that are in food, especially unprocessed food, unprepared food, not prepared properly. He was protecting them by making rule. And they had no way of understanding. They didn't know that there was something microscopic they couldn't see. They only had the understanding of what they could see with their eyes, what they could touch and feel and taste, right? But God was protecting them. Obedience brought understanding. And so even when you don't have an understanding of everything that the Bible says or why, if the Bible says it, you're still supposed to do it.
Amen.
And I promise you that if you will walk in obedience, the understanding will come. Because the Word of God is rich and powerful, and he is protecting us. Amen. And so we're all capable of drifting, and so we have to be careful to go back to the Word of God, to instruction. We need the instruction of God's Word to counter our human nature and our presuppositions that are in opposition to the will of God. You will never be able to fulfill the will of God just on your own philosophies.
Amen.
The Bible says it very clearly. There is a way that seems right to a man.
Come on.
Have you ever thought you understood something? You thought, well, it seems right.
Come on.
And then later on, you grew up or you were taught differently and you showed, you're like, whoa, that wasn't true at all.
Amen.
But at the time, you thought it was right. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end of it is destruction. And so that's why we have to have the Word of God. We have to have instruction so that we don't have destruction.
Amen.
Even when we don't understand it. And our kids and our teenagers, they have to have instruction. They have to have rules and guidelines because they're not mature enough in their mind to understand beyond this moment what the consequences are for their behavior.
Amen.
Or for their actions. It could affect them. It could affect those that are around them. That's why we need teaching and instruction. That's why we should be really careful not to miss church.
Amen.
We're trying to get the SMOs to become every service people. What are SMOs? Sunday morning onlys. I don't know if you know it or not, but we're not a Sunday morning only church.
Amen.
We're a church. We don't have a menu of schedule for church. We have church.
Amen.
And we should be doing everything we can. Now, there are circumstances. There's job circumstances. health circumstances that keep us out of the house of God sometimes. But we should be doing everything that we can to orchestrate our schedule, right?
Amen.
I was talking to somebody this morning. They said, hey, I had a conversation with my boss this week. And I said, look, I told you when I started this job that I needed Sundays.
Come on.
You know, sometimes you just got to have a talk with your boss.
Come on.
Church is not just a thing on my schedule. It's who I am. It's part of my life. Important part of my life. And so I need Sundays. I need Wednesdays.
Amen.
Amen. You're welcome.
Amen.
Amen. And so, you know, missing service should be an anomaly. It should be an anomaly. Because guess what? You're human. I'm human. The more you miss, the easier it is to miss.
Amen.
And the more you miss, the more you miss.
Right?
Right? So you miss the instruction, the correction, the understanding that comes through the Word of God. It's so important. I need in my life, and you need in your life, to fit the Word of God, not to have the Word of God fit me. Amen. I want to be transformed by the Word of God.
Amen.
Too many people, they pick and choose what sounds good to them so that they can wear the Word of God around their existing lives. But we're supposed to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We're supposed to be changed by the instruction of the Word of God. We're supposed to submit ourselves and conform ourselves to the Word of God, because His Word is right. His Word is truth. No matter what I think, no matter what you think, no matter what the world thinks, we're going to be judged by the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. And guess what? We're not going to be graded on a curve. I've taught you that before. We're not going to be graded on a curve. We're not going to be graded on the selective understanding of what people thought the Word of God might have said.
Amen.
We're going to be graded on the Word of God. We're going to be judged by the Word of God.
Amen.
And so it behooves us to hear it, to receive it,
amen,
and to apply it. Because when we stand before God, the Bible says that we're going to be judged by the deeds done in our body. And how do we know what the good deeds are and what the bad deeds are? It's the Word of God.
Amen.
It's profitable.
Amen.
For doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness. It's profitable. We've got to have it. We've got to have the Word of God. We've got to submit ourselves to it. If we don't, then we're going to be lost.
Amen.
Amen. We've got to be willing to hear what thus saith the Lord in our lives. The problem is many people come to God, but they never become true disciples because they don't get the instruction they need, or they don't receive the instruction. I need the instruction of the Word of God. The Word of God will direct and lead me. But if we are not careful, we will start doing what kids do. We will start avoiding, hiding, moving, changing, and getting away from the truth. I want to always be faithful to the house of God. I want to always be faithful to instruction. I want the Spirit to be able to correct me. I want my pastor, my leader, to be able to correct me. I want my pastor, my leader, to be able to instruct me and help me and to direct me by the Word of God. Now, I've already said, if I get out of the Word of God, then you need to get a new pastor. But as long as I'm in the Word of God, then you need to submit to those that have the rule over you, right? It's talking about the church, the pastors.
Come on.
And so we've got to do that. When people start missing a lot, I start wondering what's going on inside.
Amen.
Amen. When I come here, I may not always feel or look good, but I'm here.
Amen.
I'm here to receive. I want to hear what God has for me. I want to hear what the Word of God says for my life, because it's so easy to get off course. Amen. In raising kids, we know that if your kids are not disciplined, then you cannot stand to be around them.
Amen.
If You ever been around unruly kids?
Amen.
Have you ever heard the guy say, when I was a kid, everybody wanted to be my parent? Because every time I got close enough to hear what they said, if he was mine for just one day. If I could just get a hold of him for one day. Amen. But in our own lives, we have to have instruction because our heart, our mind, our thoughts, our actions can be just like children. We can become unruly.
Amen.
Amen. We've got to constantly check ourselves. Amen. We must understand that discipline is a core principle of discipleship. It's impossible, it's absolutely impossible to be a disciple without discipline.
Amen.
Amen. You got to have discipline. You got to have structure. The times that I get more frustrated in my own personal life is when I allow things to get unstructured.
Come on.
You know the best day I have is when I create some structure in my life.
Amen.
Now I was talking about my closet yesterday to my wife. I know I'm very detailed. I like things where they go, but I have this place in my life and it's called my closet. And I would love to tell you that it's my prayer closet, but it's just my messy closet. And so I get tired of it. So about 3, 4, 5 times a year, I spend 3 or 4 hours. Sometimes it takes longer than that if it gets bad. Because I want it all detailed, right? Very, very neat. But I don't do it constantly. So when I do that for about 3 weeks, it'll be neat. All the colors will be right, you know, the white shirts and the blue shirts and the black shirts and the jeans and the pants and the suits and the ties, and they'll all be straight. And that lasts about 3 weeks. And then over time, you know, instead of putting my shoes where they go or putting them in the little slot and putting my shoe trees in my shoes, I just slip them off and kick them in there, you know. And instead of hanging clothes up, I lay them over the shelf or throw them in there sometimes. But then I'll get tired of it and I'll straighten up. But the best days in my life are those days that are structured. When I have a list. It doesn't matter how hard it was, how busy I was, how hard I had to work to accomplish that. At the end of the day, I feel better. And so even when I take a day off, which I take Mondays off, but Monday, I probably work harder on Monday physically than I work any other day. And you know what? I feel better because of that. Because I get stuff done. When I don't accomplish anything, man, I get so frustrated. I'm not happy.
Amen.
And so in our lives, in our spiritual lives, we need structure. Most psychologists, most leadership teachers will teach you to make your bed. Don't raise your hand if you do or don't. But most people instruct you that the first thing you should do in the morning is start your day with a made bed.
Amen.
Now, we have a little thing in our house that whoever is the last one out makes the bed. And that's just what we do. The only day, this is a little, let you in on a secret, the only day we don't make the bed is on Sunday. Because guess what? Naps are of God. And we wanted the quickest access back to a nap as possible, right? We don't want any pillows getting in the way. We don't want any covers getting in the way, blankets getting in the way. Amen. Come on. I feel the Holy Ghost right here. But every other day, even on Saturday, the bed gets made. We start it. And if you will have a little structure in your life, it'll be easier for you to take instruction.
Amen.
Because discipline breeds discipline. It's impossible to be a disciple without discipline. That's why making God preeminent, lordship, our first checkpoint, is so important, because we've got to make him first priority, because that sets all the other disciplines in our life.
Amen.
When he becomes first, guess what? His house is first.
Amen.
Amen. Because you can't separate the head from the body. You can't have a relationship with Jesus without a relationship with the church, no matter what anybody lies to you about. You can't. It's impossible. You got to have the church too. You can't love him without them. You got to have the church. You got to love your brothers and sisters. You got to walk in forgiveness. You got to walk in restoration if you want to be blessed. And so this second checkpoint for discipleship, and I'm closing this morning, is so important, because we've got to receive instruction. We've got to hear it, receive it, and apply it. If you just hear it and you don't receive it, then you're never going to apply it. But if you want it to bring blessing in your life, apply it to your life. Conform your schedule to it. Conform your actions to it. Conform your words to it. Conform your dress to it. Conform your schedule to it. And I promise you, if you'll try me, I have this little thing that I do. It's a 90-day challenge. If you'll take 90 days and tithe, if you'll take 90 days and be faithful and committed to the house of God, if you'll take 90 days and read and study and pray, it will revolutionize your life. And you will never be the same. And those 90 days will turn into 90 years, because you will never want to stop. Because the blessings that come with giving yourself totally and completely to the will of God is incalculable. It's invaluable. There's no way to put a price on it. And it's one of the checkpoints of true discipleship. If you want to be a disciple today, why don't you stand with me? There's pressure for you. Amen. I want the word of God in my life. I want to be a disciple. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for the instruction of the word. We thank you for what we're going to hear and feel in this second hour. Lord, I thank you for these beautiful people. I ask you to bless them, minister to them, use them. I ask you to be with us this second hour. Pour your spirit out on every hungry heart in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Take a little break. We'll start worship here in a few minutes.